How many of you have seen the show, it used to be on television, called Man vs. Wild? Few? Nobody? Not that many? Few? I used to like the show Man vs. Wild. I messed my computer up, so I'm fixing that as I talk. There we go. I used to like watching Man vs. Wild, where this guy Bear Grylls, what they do is they drop him kind of in the wilderness somewhere. He's in a jungle or in the middle of a desert or the Arctic or a rainforest or on a mountain or a swamp or somewhere destitute. And then this film crew will follow him as he shows you how you would survive if you were in a place like that. And then he also shows you what you would do to get to civilization again. It was a fun show to watch. And I don't think they're making new episodes of Man vs. Wild anymore. Bear Grylls actually has a new show called Running Wild. Now he takes a celebrity out in the wilderness with him. I saw an episode where he had Shaquille O'Neal. Shaquille's, 7'8" or something, at 400 pounds, I don't know. And you've got Bear Grylls on the top of this cliff and Shaquille down on the bottom trying to come up a rope and Bear trying to pull him. It was pretty impressive, is one way to say it. But in the original Man vs. Wild show that we used to catch occasionally, I found it kind of extraordinary to see the adventures that this guy would go through to show you how you would survive and what you do to find your way out. He even ate a skunk one time. He caught a skunk in one of the traps he contrived, and that's what he caught. And, you know, he's like, well, if you're in the wild and you have to survive and that's what you have, that's what you have to do. So that's what he did. And he said, it tastes about like it smells. So sounds pretty yummy. One of the things that Bear would always do in Man vs. Wild in order to get his bearings is once they would drop in at whatever point he was in, he would try to find a point of direction. That was really important to get your way out, is to know where you're facing, where you're at. So he would look to the sun, see where the sun was facing, or he would look to a landmark, if there was some sort of landmark that he knew of in the area he was in. And if it was nighttime, what he would do is he would find the constant position of the North Star, because the North Star doesn't move. And if you could find the North Star, you would know where you're at. When everything begins to look the same, the south looks like the north, and the north looks like the south, and the east like the west, and the west like the east, you can always look to the North Star because you know that you can trust it. Listen to me, God's faithfulness is like the North Star. It's steadfast and it's trustworthy. In the midst of changing and difficult times in our world, where we're hearing about school shootings and all kinds of craziness that's going on, we know that there's a steadfastness that comes in God's faithfulness always. God's the best example of faithfulness that we have got. He's always true to his promises. He always remains faithful. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, it says, if we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Faithful is who God is. It's who God is, and he can't be faithless without disowning his very being, who he is. It's God's nature to remain faithful. You and I can trust him absolutely as much as, even more so than we would trust the North Star. God and his word, the Bible, are faithful. As we've been talking about doing the new, I was taken again by the graphic that we have on the wall. And just to remind you again, what we see here is ashes and then the sprout of green out of what's been dead. And when we talk about doing the new, when we die in Christ and we become new in Christ, he sprouts this new creation that continues to blossom and to grow and become more and more as we become more and more the fruit of the Spirit that we've been talking about. God empowers and produces this new fruit in our lives, this new character. And today, the part of that character and quality that we're going to talk about is this faithfulness. God shows us faithfulness, and then he gives us the empowerment to have the same kind of faithfulness. Let's once again read about all the parts of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23 to get our bearings for where this part comes from in the fruit. So let's read that again together out loud. Can we do that? Let's join together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Let's pray and then we'll get started talking about faithfulness. God, we have to first just come to you again, thanking you for how faithful you are to us. Thank you so much, God. And Lord, use your Holy Spirit now to speak to the hearts of every believer in this room, to communicate to us that need, that desire, that passion, that wanting to be faithful to you and to others in our lives. God, speak to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. God's unswervingly faithful. Unswervingly faithful. And through his presence in us by the Holy Spirit, he wants to establish our lives in that same kind of faithfulness. So let's talk a minute about what it means to be faithful. The Greek word for the word faithful used here in the fruit of the Spirit, the Greek word actually does mean faith or belief or trusted. God's calling us to be faithful, believing, having trusted lives that are trusted in all of our relationships, and especially in our relationship with him. Let's first talk about how the Holy Spirit wants to empower us in our relationships, trusted relationships with others. In Proverbs chapter 17, the first part of verse 17, it says, "A friend loves at all times." At all times. So friends, faithfulness is critical in your friendships. Loving at all times is critical. There's nothing that will blow a relationship apart any more quickly than someone who isn't trusted. Would you agree? When you can't trust someone in a relationship, it erodes the relationship. You've heard the phrase, he's a fair-weathered friend, I bet, haven't you? A fair-weathered friend. You see fair-weathered fans at sporting events all the times. They're the ones that cheer for their favorite team, but when their team is starting to stink it up, out come the curse words and the cut downs, and then the fair-weathered friend, they duck out on the seventh or the eighth inning if it doesn't look like their team's going to win, or the third or the beginning of the fourth quarter if it looks like the Steelers aren't going to pull it out. That's what happens. I just happened to see Tony sitting there, and I had to say that. A real faithful fan is the one that's going to cheer on their team on to the end, win or lose. Win or lose, you're faithful to them. Fair-weathered friends are the same as a fair-weathered fan. They're with you. They're your best bosom buddies while things are good, but if things go sour, they're going to look to another friend who they can cheer on, who they can hang out with. Faithful friends, unlike fair-weathered friends, are trusted. They're trusted to be with you no matter what. Our faithfulness in our relationships is also shown in our commitment. Our commitment. This is what we think about, right? When we celebrate somebody's 25th, their silver wedding anniversary, or their 50th, their golden wedding anniversary. These are people who know what commitment is. But friends, too often in our times, commitments become this wishy-washy word that leaves little intention of really sticking it out and staying together. Let me give you some key words that spell out commitment in relationships. Here are some key words. Dependability. Punctuality. Responsibility. Dedication. Honesty and devotion. Those are words that help spell commitment. And it's a commitment that's there even after the shine wears off. Even after the excitement of the newness of a relationship or whatever it is, when that shine's all worn off, that commitment stays in place. Faithfulness with others requires a love for the truth. It requires a genuine, heartfelt concern for integrity. It requires courage, good old-fashioned, gutting it out because you know you're doing the right thing kind of courage. It means not cutting corners in order to take it easy and take the easy way out. It means that you refuse to jump ship even when the waves of adversity are splashing over the deck on your marriage, your vocation, your ministry, your relationship, your friends, your family, whatever it is. And faithfulness with others finally means that you stay true to your relationship with Jesus. No matter what it costs you, you stay true to Jesus. You can't be faithful to others if you're not being faithful to Jesus, because he's the source of all faithfulness, right? So when you're more faithful to Jesus, it makes you more faithful to those around you. When you add all this up, you find that faithfulness to others can be a pretty tall order. And left to ourselves, who can consistently live that kind of faithfulness? You know, if we were to look around this room and we're all honest, I bet we would find that no one in this place is completely faithful all the time. Maybe we've broken promises, compromised standards, broken vows, broken contracts, broken our word, broken commitments to families or friends or even to God. I mean, if you're like me, then I bet you can find yourself needing some room to grow in faithfulness. And the good news is that the Holy Spirit sees that need in you as well, and in me as well. And that's why, if we'll let him, he's ready to help us grow into having a healthier, more faithful relationship with others. However, our relationship with others isn't nearly as important, friends, as our relationship with God. That's what's most important, because like I said, that makes this better. The natural byproduct of our faithfulness to God is a better faithfulness in our relationship with everyone else. So we're going to spend the bulk of our time, the rest of our time, talking about this, our faithful relationship to God. Jesus shares a parable, and a parable is this. A parable is a short story that teaches something. So he shares a short story that teaches something, and this parable communicates to us four truths about faithfulness. The parable's found in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. It's known as the parable of the talents. And I'm going to read it to you if you'll listen as I read along, and then we'll kind of take it apart and see what we can learn from it about our faithfulness. So here's what it says. This is Jesus telling this story to share a point to teach us something, this parable. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to one other 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on a journey, his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one who had 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who received 1 talent went off, dug a hole, and buried his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned to settle up accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained you 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and I hid the talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put your money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw the worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Whew. Friends, in this story, Jesus gives 2 examples of people who are faithful and one who was not. The master gives each of them a certain amount of talents, which is money. The first two were faithful and wisely invested their talents. The third man, either out of fear or out of laziness, doesn't take advantage of the opportunity that's been given to him. Here are the four truths we can pick up from this story that we can learn. The first truth is this: God gives everyone different gifts. God gives everyone different gifts. Matthew 25:15 says, to one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Do you hear what this verse is saying? We all have different abilities. God's aware of every one of them. Some people have a multitude of abilities, while others, maybe they're more streamlined. They have 1 or 2 really important abilities or areas. Plus, this parable teaches us that the master's the one who determines how much it is that you can handle. He's not concerned about who's going to handle more or who's going to achieve the most. He's concerned about how you're going to handle what it is that you've got. Be faithful with what it is that he's given you. And this is often misconstrued. What we often think is, well, if someone seems to have the more incredible gifts or multiples of gifts and abilities, then their reward is going to be so much greater than mine. If Mike can sing, rub his belly, and pat his head all at the same time, can you do that, Mike? Can you do that while playing guitar with your toes? Okay. If Mike can do all of those things, then certainly he's got more coming to him than God can give to me because of my smidly little 1 or 2 things that I can do. That's often what we think, but friends, that's nothing less than a false assumption. God's not looking, listen to this closely, God's not looking for the giftedness, he's looking for your faithfulness. He's not looking for your giftedness, but your faithfulness, and he rewards you according to how you use whatever gifts, whatever abilities it is that he's given you. Maybe there's only 1 or 2 things God's gifted you to do well. Great, then learn what they are, because the Bible promises that every believer in Jesus has at least 1 spiritual gift. So learn what that is and do it with all that you are, with all of your heart, and great faithfulness to the one who gave you that gift. Don't compare yourself to someone else. God gives us all different talents, different abilities, and gifts. Just be faithful and using the ones that he's given you. Now, some of you may be thinking, but I don't think I have any real talents or gifts or abilities that God can use. Yes, you do. That's a big fat lie. Yes, you do. Maybe you've just not discovered them yet. And if you're uncertain of your talents, your gifts, your abilities that God wants you to be faithful with to him, then the next time that we offer the Journey class, you should sign up and come to the Journey class. Because in that class, we do an exploration of that, of your personality, of your spiritual gifts, your heartbeat, your abilities, your personality, and your experiences, and how all those are used for you to be able to fulfill your faithfulness to God and how you want to serve him. That's going to be coming up here again soon. As we get more interest, we have another class. So if you're interested, make sure you tell me. We'll get another class rolling soon where you can learn more about your giftedness. The second truth that we learn from this story, this parable about faithfulness, is this: more responsibility is a good thing. More responsibility is a good thing. The master replies in both Matthew 25, verses 21 and 23, the same. One, he's talking to the person with the 5 talents, the other with the 2. He says the exact same thing to them. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. What we see in this story is that the 2 servants who wisely invested their talents because of their faithfulness were given more responsibility. That's a good thing. While the servant who sat on his talents, who did nothing, had his talent removed from him. Faithfulness to God includes that, that commitment, responsibility thing that we talked about a little bit earlier that we have in our relationships with others. We have that with God. Faithfulness to God is being willing to take one more responsibility on as he brings it to you. One time as I was serving in the last church that we were in, I was working with a team from the church who we would look at the different ministry roles that needed to be filled, and then we'd pray about who could fill those roles, and then we would invite people to step into those roles and fill them. And one of the times we got a response from a woman that just really grabbed my attention. One woman we called, we asked her to step into this area and serve, and her response was something like, yeah, I can do that. It's probably about time that I get more involved and step up to the plate. Isn't that a great response? I'm telling you as a pastor to hear that, that is a great response. It's about time that I step up to the plate. I agree. She's saying, I agree that I want to be faithful in my talents. It's time for me to begin to step up to the plate and use them. And Jesus says, to you who are faithful in a few things, I will put you in charge of many things. More responsibility is a good thing. Maybe there are some today who would say, you know, it's not that I don't know what my gifts and talents and abilities are. I really kind of have an idea what they are. I'm just still warming the bench. And maybe God would say to you today, I'm tossing you the ball. Are you ready to step up to the plate and hit that thing out of the park? Because friends, no player can hit the ball from the bench. You need to step up to the plate. Understand that God has gifted you. And he intends for you to be faithful in using the gifts that he gives you. If you're waiting for a better time in life, a better season of life, a better circumstance to roll around, just step in. You're going to miss a good thing if you don't step in. More responsibility is a good thing, and it produces good things. Accepting it shows faithfulness. Here's the third truth that we learn about faithfulness in this story from Jesus. We learn this: wasting talents brings real loss. It brings real loss. Our story in Matthew 25 through 28 through 30 says, take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What's happening here is that the servant who had one talent decided he's going to do nothing with it. Instead of even just investing it, even putting it in a bank to at least draw minimal interest, doing anything with it, he just buries it. He buries it, forgets about it, and he just goes on with his life. The master's words for the servant are tough here, friends. He calls him worthless. This part of the story is pointing out the sheer absolute loss we receive when we have talents and we aren't faithful to use them. When I was in college, I was in a rock and roll band, believe it or not, a Christian rock and roll band. Some of my friends just kind of pulled it together first for fun, and then we started playing a few youth groups, and then we started playing some places in the area, and then some big arenas and coliseum. No, not that. But a few little things in the area. I was the drummer of the band, and our band was called Burning Heart because we all said our hearts were burning for God. I know it sounds corny, but it fit at the time. We wrote most of our own stuff. Well, we didn't. Our guitarist and pianist wrote most of our stuff. And as a band, we were really, really okay. We were just okay. But it was a lot of fun, and we had the privilege to lead a few people to Jesus. So that was absolutely worth everything that we did. Our band went through about three or four different singers in our time, but probably the most talented person we ever had in the band who sang with us was Kevin. Kevin was extremely gifted vocalist. He was the one who got all the solos when he was in high school. And out of high school, he left to do a group for a couple years called Up With People, where they went across the world singing. So he had a real gift to sing. One of the most extraordinary things that I appreciated about Kevin and his gift is his ability to sing harmony. I loved to sit next to him in church because he would do this harmony all around you and make even you sound good. It was awesome. But a sad thing happened with Kevin. When Kevin stopped singing for our band, he stopped singing. He stopped using his gift for God. He buried his talent. And I remember talking with him a few years later, and he said to me, he said, Mark, you know what? I've lost it. I've lost the ear to be able to hear and to sing harmony. And my heart just sunk. Because I love to hear the richness of his voice as he would use that gift of harmony that he had. And this parable came to my mind. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. if you don't use it, friends, you might just lose it. You might lose it. Maybe you can work and get it back. Maybe Kevin could work and get back the ability to do harmony, and maybe not. Friends, you can't bury your talents for long before they start to lose their edge and you start to lose your ability. And when you dig that talent up that's been buried and you try to dust it off, you may be able to bring it back around, but it may never be able to be to the point in the fullness that it once had. Plus, there's all that time, maybe years, that you had that talent buried and didn't use it at all. Wasting talent brings real loss, and the truth of it is wasting your talent is a sin. It's a sin to waste the talent that God gave to you to use for His glory and for the purpose of helping to serve others. It's a sin to bury that. And that's why He was so hard on the guy who buried his treasure. And I've not read anywhere in the Bible where it says that the guy in this story got his talent back. I've not read any promise that says that you'll get to keep the talents that God gives you if you choose not to use them. As a matter of fact, this parable tells us that God takes it away from the man who buried it. If you're burying your talents, you better dig them up and start using them before you lose the privilege to use them at all. But Jesus says something even tougher here. He says that the person who isn't faithful in using his or her talents will be thrown into the darkness where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Those are strong words. So what are they saying? Well, there are two things we can gather from them. First, if we live our whole Christian lives investing little, not using our talents, then there's going to come a day where we stand before God, and friends, we're going to weep, and we're going to say, how could I have chosen not to be more faithful to you, God? God, you gave me these talents, and now I can see things clearly, and I could have used them, and I didn't. I held it tight to my chest and I didn't share it with anybody else and I didn't really share it with you. And we're going to stand before him weeping. As a matter of fact, it says that he gnashed his teeth. And do you know what gnashing of your teeth means? It means when you grit your teeth together, oh my God, how could I have not been faithful? Oh, you've done that before, haven't you? You've done something stupid and you're like, oh, I can't believe I did that. That's what it'll be like. And that day will be a very dark and regretful time. Yet if you placed your heart into Jesus' heart, into his hands, you know that the Bible says in heaven he'll wipe away every tear. We know that will happen. It's no sorrowful place in heaven, but you do have that period of judgment before. That time will someone may have some real regret and weeping and gnashing their teeth because God gave you something and you just buried it in the ground. However, there's a second thing that we can glean from these words. There are some who haven't been faithful in using any of their talents for God at all. I mean, for most of us in this room, I believe we could be pretty confident to say that we've at least used our gifts and talents to some point, to some measure. Maybe not as we should, but we've done something with them. You may not think that you have, but you've probably used them to some extent. You've not buried them all the way, but then there are some who've just not used any of their talents for God at all. There are some people who may claim to have faith but haven't shown any real belief because belief is shown in faithfulness and how you live your life. That's why we're in a season of do. It's by what you do. You can't have real faith in Jesus and not be at all a faithful person to him. I just wonder if this third servant, if Jesus is talking about people who've not truly embraced their faith in Jesus at all. And the regret for them will indeed be devastating. And the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. There's a fourth truth that we learn, a final truth about faithfulness in this parable, and it's this: the faithful get the reward. The faithful get the reward. In Matthew 25, verse 29, it says, for everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Friends, it's when we're faithful in the talents that God's given us that we receive the reward. The more we nurture our talents, the more we grow in our abilities, the more we practice in faithfulness and serving with them, the greater the reward is going to be. We're rewarded in this life, but even more than that, we're going to be rewarded when we get to heaven someday. We need to take whatever effort is needed to discover the talents that God's given us and to invest them in faithfulness to the best of our abilities. We need to step up to the plate. Even when we think that we might have a strike or hit a foul ball, at least take a few swings at the thing, or we'll never hit anything at all. If you have any inkling that God has gifted you in some area, then step up to the plate and invest. Invest in it, because the return is going to be so very much worth it. The truth is for all ages. This truth is for all ages and for all seasons of your life. God will give you something to invest. He will. If you're faithful, he'll give you more. In one church where I served, I visited a shut-in there whose name was Helen. I've told you about this visit with Helen before, but I need to tell you again because it's so important with this point. Helen turned 90 in the years that I was visiting her. Her health wouldn't allow her to come to church any longer or even to get out very much. She was almost completely blind. She couldn't even read our newsletter that we sent out without this massive magnifying glass that sat right next to her chair on the table next to her chair. But let me tell you something about Helen. Helen, at the age of 90, almost blind and with various health issues, was one of the most faithful people that I've ever known. We're in a season of do here at the church, right? We're in a season of do. Well, she couldn't do anything anymore in the physical sense, but God gave her the talent of prayer. And I learned when I visited her that she was one of the greatest prayer warriors that we had in the church. She would pray every day, and she would say, I just can't do much anymore, but I can still pray. And she said that daily she would pray for all of the staff and our families. And I was so blown away by that, to know that this little old lady was praying for me and my wife and my kids every day. And all the others that were serving there. Every day, Helen faithfully invested her talent of praying. And I'm telling you that the day she passed from this life and went to her eternal life, she saw a tremendous reward. A tremendous reward waiting her. You and I need to be a Helen, friends. We need to discover the talents that God's given us right now, whatever season of life that you're in. Discover what talent he's given you and faithfully invest in them. Friends, what marks us as people of faith is our faithfulness. It's our faithfulness. God's going to reward that, but that's not why we're faithful. We're not faithful just because we're going to get a reward. We're faithful because, friends, he was faithful first. And how much better can I express my gratitude to him for all he's done for me than to be faithful back to him in return? It's just what we have to do. Do the new. Do a new faithfulness. Let's pray together. God, we live in almost what feels like a commitment barren society today. So many people don't want to really invest into anything because they don't trust enough to think that it's going to have enough payback for them. But God, you're faithful to us all the time, even when we so don't deserve it. And God, you have poured that faithfulness onto us. And how can we not want to respond to you? Some of us have buried some talents. Maybe you're supposed to sing and you don't do it. Maybe God's ready to use you to reach kids for Jesus who are in the fort right now. Maybe God wants to use you to talk to somebody at work. Maybe you have the gift to be able to create things and build things, and God wants to use you to help people who can't do it for themselves. God's given us so many talents and abilities. Maybe God's given you the gift to listen, but you don't give enough time to listen to people who need someone to listen to them. Maybe God's given you the ability to speak, and you haven't come to full understanding of that yet, but as you're faithful to him, he's going to let that blossom into your life so that you can speak to individuals, maybe groups of people. Maybe your gift is simply serving, like the two folks that showed up at church here this morning at about 7:45 to shovel the sidewalk outside, who aren't on any list to do that. They just did that on their own. God, we just thank you for your faithfulness, and we ask that we can be faithful back to you. Lord, we love you. We ask that our faithful lives will be our worship and our best praise to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, this whole faithfulness thing, it plays into every part of our lives, friends. That's the thing. It's not, I come to church on Sunday morning, and so I'm faithful here, but then I leave on Monday and I go to work, and I just kind of put that on a shelf until I go to my life group on Wednesday night, and then I put the faithfulness back on, and then I kind of put that on the shelf until I go back into this work life, and then I come to the weekend and I get ready to come to church again. That's just not how it works. That leaves for like a leaking vessel where you're pouring stuff in and it just keeps coming out all the time because you're not in fullness being faithful in what you do. That's why this work is worship thing is an important thing. If you're still in the working force, it's a great opportunity for you to combine those parts of your life, because we spend so many hours of our life at work, right? A big portion of our life if we're in the working world, and what can we do during that time to know that we're living faithful, to view that as a way to worship God even then? If you've not decided to come to that, as you can tell, I think it's a good idea that you would, and I hope that you consider it. Signing up on our website and coming to the Work is Worship this Friday. For me, here's the deal with faithfulness. When it's all been said and when it's all been done and when I stand before my master someday, I just want to know that I've been faithful. I don't care how many accolades I've got from a man. I don't care how many notches I feel like I've gained in my crown. I don't care how many people I feel like I've done this or done that, or how much I've gained or how much money I've earned or any of those things. I just want to know that I can stand before him and he says, "Well done, my son, my faithful son. You have been good with a few things. I will now put you in charge of many." And that's what I want for you, that we just walk faithful. Just take that faithful step forward, the next step forward. And then he leads you the next step forward. And just keep stepping faithfully with him. That's what it's about. We'll see you all next week. Have a beautiful week.